The sound of protesters outside the U.S. Senate earlier today protesting the nomination and the hearings of John Roberts to become the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. The last hour of Issues Etc. today is open lines for your questions and your comments. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I have two questions for you. That's just the first of many audio cuts we have from outside and inside the Senate chamber and the hearings today. The question I have for you, the first one, how important is this to you? Some of the networks are carrying this wall to wall, gavel to gavel, every statement from every senator and every look and every nuance, and we'll be watching it for at least the next week. Others are just going about their business. Is this important to you, Roberts' nomination to the Chief Justiceship of the U.S. Supreme Court? That's the first question, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And the second question I have for you is this. The big debate, of course, today, and it coming in the form of every senator's individual 10-minute statements, the big debate today is, what is fair game during this nomination and approval process? What questions can be asked? Well, you can ask any question you want if you're a U.S. senator. What questions does the nominee have to answer? It's been pretty clear so far in what I've heard of the senator's statements that those who would trend against the positions held by Roberts are going to be asking him pointed, specific questions on his opinions and his ideas on things like Roe v. Wade and civil rights and women's rights and reproductive rights and all sorts of things. They want specifics. They want to know what he thinks. And they're saying today, look, we don't expect you to rule here. We just expect you to give us your thoughts on it. And others are saying, look, you don't have to answer any questions you don't want to answer. Now, both are right. Questions are all out there. And, of course, the nominee can demur on any question he wants to. They can ask him how old he is, and he could say, well, I prefer not to answer that question. My record speaks for itself, and they can look up his birth certificate if they want to and find out how old he is. So should he be answering these questions, the specifics that will be put to him, no doubt, in the next few days in the Senate chamber? It's open lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Before we get started with that audio, what's been going on, and you would almost think that the nomination of a U.S. Supreme Court justice, Chief Justice, is a small matter compared to the news that has been coming out of the South and Hurricane Katrina. That news will go on for many weeks and months. There are two reasons I think that you ought to not only help the victims of Katrina, but also do it through LCMS World Relief. First, at least 95% of the dollars given through LCMS World Relief get where they're going. That is to the victims of Katrina. And second, those dollars are connected to real, and that relief is connected to real congregations where Christ and Him crucified is being preached, so that this simply isn't helping people with the needs of the body, but also the more pressing needs of the soul as well. It's LCMS World Relief. For more information, go to our website, and you'll see a satellite image of Katrina bearing down upon the coast. Click on that and you'll find out more information on how to give to LCMS World Relief and help the victims of Katrina. Or you can call them toll free, 1-888-930-4438. That's the number to call to donate, 1-888-930-4438. You can donate online tonight at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. If you haven't yet, now's your opportunity, LCMS World Relief. Okay, so the two questions on the table as we watch the unfolding confirmation hearings, I guess you could call them confirmation, non-confirmation hearings, because one way or the other, that's the two outcomes that will that are possible here. For John Roberts to be Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, does this matter to you at all? How important is it? Before, when it was just a theoretical possibility, we heard a lot of people talking about judicial activism. We heard a lot of people talking about who will be the next nominee. George W. Bush will have an opportunity, and who will it be? And it'll make a difference for the pro-life cause, and it'll make a difference for so many other things. Well, now's the time to register your thoughts on this. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. How important is it to you now that it's actually underway? And, of course, in the hopper for President George W. Bush is another nomination that he has yet to announce to fill Sandra Day O'Connor's position. You'll remember that Roberts was originally put up to fill Sandra Day O'Connor's position. Then when Chief Justice William Rehnquist died, the president withdrew that nomination and resubmitted him as the nominee for Chief Justice. The second question is this. Should he have to answer those questions, all those pointed specific questions about particular issues that may come before the court in his confirmation hearings? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. All right, here's some more audio from outside and inside the Senate chamber today. Let's hear from both sides of the Robert nomination debate. First, Arlen Specter, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, outside the hearings, says that the hearings will probe whether John Roberts would seek to reverse Roe v. Wade.
I think it is inappropriate to ask him head on if he's going to overturn Roe, but I believe that there are many questions close to the issue, like his respect for precedent.
Okay, so there's a doctrine in the Supreme Court, really in all courts, that precedent is given first consideration. And this will probably be something that we'll hear discussed in the confirmation hearings. So Arlen Specter says it wouldn't be appropriate to ask him about Roe per se, but he will be asked about all sorts of other things, the surrounding doctrines of the Supreme Court, to see whether he might uphold the precedent that is Roe v. Wade. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Eleanor Schmiel of the Feminist Majority is concerned. She fears that Roberts is more of a conservative than the man he replaces as Chief Justice.
This candidate in his writings thus far appears to the right of Rehnquist.
All right, so she's concerned that this will mark a shift in the court. Now, Rehnquist was not on the left, but she's concerned that this will move the court further to the right and put a Chief Justice in there who's further to the right than the previous occupant of that office. It's open lines, issues, etc. We're listening to some audio from the Senate confirmation hearings of John Roberts. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. How important is this to you? And, I mean, does it grow in importance over other things you might talk about around the water cooler, like how the Rams did this weekend and things like that? It is, after all, the nomination and confirmation of the next Supreme Court justice. He's a young man. He's 50, so he could serve there for many decades. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here again is Eleanor Schmiel.
Because he's pleasant looking and he seems to have a very pleasant and likable manner, we're interpreting that to be his ideology or his views on the law, and yet his views on the law are reactionary.
All right. She, of course, being of the feminist majority, would say that reactionary is questioning whether or not Roe v. Wade is good law. That's one of the few things that we know about John Roberts' position on Roe v. Wade. He did not write it as a justice. He wrote it as an employee of the previous Bush administration, speaking for the previous Bush administration. And he said, in essence, that Roe v. Wade is, as a decision, just bad law. To Eleanor Schmiel and other feminists and other pro-choice forces, that is a reactionary view. Eleanor Schmiel of the Feminist Majority also says that she and other protesters against Roberts have been denied a chance to speak.
It is a part of the control. Total control. Yes, and to make it look like there's no opposition.
Now, she wants an opportunity, I think, to have a voice in the confirmation hearings. I'm no expert on government, but I don't know if that is... Now, I know that people are allowed to testify. The most famous recent example is Anita Hill testifying at the confirmation hearings of Justice Thomas. So Eleanor Schmiel would like to have Anita Hill's seat for a few minutes in that Senate chamber to voice her concerns about Judge Roberts. Are you concerned? Is this important to you? When you hear the opposition, the protesters, and the kind of questions that the senators are planning to ask this man in his confirmation hearings, do you think he should answer those questions? Is it even important to you? When you see it on the cable news, do you just turn and say, I'll catch it when they finally make their decision. But up until now, it doesn't make any difference. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, here is David Beerit of American Life League. He says that the jury is still out on John Roberts himself.
It's probably likely that Judge Roberts will be confirmed, and we're hopeful that if he is, that he will uphold the rights of all, but we aren't certain of that yet.
All right, now that's something I've been hearing from a lot of pro-lifers, and that is, well, we want to see him confirmed, and he most likely will be confirmed. Of course, nothing's guaranteed, but he most likely will be confirmed, but we don't know where he stands. Now, I'll be honest with you folks, up to this point, and I think I still do hold this opinion, it's nothing more than an opinion, I think that pro-lifers have been coy on John Roberts. And what I mean by that is they do more than hope that he's pro-life. They know he is. Otherwise, they wouldn't want him confirmed. And it's about far more than judicial activism. It is about Roe v. Wade. But they don't want to stir the pot when things are going well. And so they'll at least plead ignorance on his position, or plead ignorance on what they think his positions are. Is it important to you? Should he answer those questions? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now everyone will hoop and holler, whine and cry if this man turns out to be pro-life and isn't confirmed. I'm giving your opportunity here at the beginning of the confirmation hearings to tell us how important it is to you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here is Arlen Specter giving Roberts a preview of the questions that he'll have to face when the senators finally get around to asking questions.
I do not intend to ask you whether you were overruled Roe versus Wade. I will ask you whether you think the Constitution has a right of privacy, and I will ask questions about precedents as they bear on Roe versus Wade.
Now, I have a lot of respect for Specter, and I'm glad that he's taking this tack, but is there any difference between asking, will you overturn Roe v. Wade, and asking, do you believe the Constitution contains a right of privacy? If he answers no to the second question, then the answer to the first question is yes. I'll overturn Roe v. Wade if I have the opportunity, because I don't believe it's constitutionally valid. So while the senator is saying, look, I'm not going to press you on this question, but I will press you on the question of whether or not privacy is in the Constitution. It's hard for me to imagine how a sitting prospective justice would say, no, there's no privacy in the Constitution. The Roe court made this thing up from shadows and penumbra, and they just invented it out of whole cloth out of nothing. And yet I'll uphold Roe v. Wade, simply because it's precedent. But maybe that's Roberts' position. Maybe it is. It is the position of other justices. It was bad law, but I'll uphold it because it's precedent, because it was decided. Now, Specter, by the way, is pro-choice. Here's Senator Specter again. He says that Roberts could end up leading the court for more than two decades, providing him with a unique opportunity as Chief Justice.
To rebuild the image of the court away from what many believe it has become as a super legislature, and to bring consensus to the court.
Now, while Specter is pro-choice, he has aired publicly his concerns about, he used the term super legislature. That's another term for judicial activism. The court is somehow a legislature above the legislature. Now, as senators, of course, they're concerned about that because they are the legislature along with the Congress. I want to hear from you on the Roberts nomination. How important is it? And should he be answering the questions that are going to be put to him? If Specter doesn't ask him if he'll overturn Roe v. Wade, someone else will. There are a number that will, and they'll ask him again and again and again. Should he answer? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's Steve, beginning open lines, calling from his car. Steve, welcome.
How are you doing today?
Very well.
Good. Hey, question for you to ponder this. If Roberts confirmed, and let's say, for example, they overturned Roe v. Wade, doesn't mean it's the end of abortion. It just means that most likely it'll become a state-by-state issue. So then what happens is now it's moved back to the legislative process where it should have been in the first place. So I think it's a panacea to think that the justices will end something like that. So just something to consider as people are thinking about this, you know, if they overturn Roe v. Wade, what next?
Well, do you think that a court with Roberts as Chief Justice eventually, let's say for the sake of argument, George W. Bush appoints a pro-life judge to take O'Connor's place next and is confirmed, do you think that court should overturn Roe?
They should. I think they should overturn it on the grounds that when they originally made it, it was bad law. And it should go back to the legislatures on the state levels to decide, or even at the federal government. I have a problem with abortion. I think it's wrong. But the problem is because back in 73, because it was a judicial decision and not a legislative decision, I think that's created a lot of the angst in society because it was somewhat, you know, come from, if you will, Mount Olympus without having the normal, legislative political process that's required to make a law.
Interesting thoughts there, Steve. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, even if all of the things being equal, even if Roberts is confirmed, and we still have O'Connor on the court, she's sitting there until the president finds someone to take her place. Nothing changes on Roe v. Wade. It is still majority against overturning Roe v. Wade. It is still a court that is 6-3 in favor of Roe. Now, on the issue of partial birth abortion, it's more closely divided, and that is 5-4. But nothing really changes there. I think it's more likely, the argument Steve made, that it goes back to the states, is more likely to give a future court a reason for overturning it. Because they say, look, we're not, all we're doing is just, let's go back to the woodshed and do it again. Let's go back and do it the right way. We might end up with legalized abortion when it all is said and done. Now, I would also point out in reaction to Steve's call there that it goes back to the states, yes. But sooner or later, all those state laws will inevitably end up back at the Supreme Court. It can go back to the states, and a state like Missouri can say, as it might even do, Roe was a bad idea, now it's been overturned, we will outlaw abortion. And that, like every other pro-life piece of legislation in Missouri, will be challenged all the way to the Supreme Court. The court can never get rid of Roe. Even though it overturns Roe, it will never get rid of the issue of abortion. And you know, the court that hears those might not be this court. Should the nominee be answering the questions about Roe, and how important is this to you? Here's Senator Patrick Leahy's ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he says that the Senate has a very important job to do.
We the people have just as one chance to inquire whether this person should be entrusted with the privilege and responsibility of interpreting our Constitution.
And that's, he's speaking as a duly elected senator. This is how we do it. And this is very important, by the way. You don't get a lot of chief justices. That club is an exclusive club in American history. Literally a handful of men have occupied it. And since Supreme Court justices tend to serve out their terms until they die, this man at 50 being Supreme Court Chief Justice could be there for 3+ decades. Easily. If he's in good health and lives clean and avoids the stray bus on the street, he could be there for at least 30 years. So how important is what's happening today in the Senate chamber to you? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Here's Senator Orrin Hatch of the Senate Judiciary Committee talking to Roberts about whether or not he should answer lawmakers' questions to show that he's up to the task he's been nominated for.
You must decide how best to honor your commitment to judicial impartiality and independence. You must decide when that obligation is more important than what senators, including this one, might want to know.
It's true. I mean, he's stating the obvious, because all that he has to do is say, I'm not going to answer that question because I prefer to think these things over when the cases come to me, if I'm appointed and he's, or if I'm confirmed. And he could say to the Senate, look, confirm me and I'll answer your question when the case comes to me. This has been the tradition, for the most part, in Senate confirmation hearings. If something specific is asked about something that may come before the court, which nowadays could be anything, the nominee usually says, well, in essence, confirm me and you'll find out if the case comes before the court. You know, I think we might learn a lot about Judge Roberts here in these Senate hearings, or very little about him, depending on what strategy he decides to take in answering questions like, okay, Judge, are you going to overturn Roe v. Wade if you have the opportunity? What will you think if he says, this is what it's going to come down to, what will you think if he says, yes? Ann Coulter says, what we need is a nominee from this president who will just tell us what he's going to do. Lay it on the table. She says, if you do a public opinion poll, you win on overturning Roe v. Wade. The American public thinks it's bad law, hasn't been very good for our country, and even though many still in theory support abortion, they think we have to go back and look at it again. So why not have a guy up there who says, yeah, I'll overturn it, and let's send it back to the states, and let's do it right the second time, whatever the outcome may be. Okay, he says yes. What do you think about that? Or he says, I'm sorry, I refuse to answer because that is a case that's most likely to come up before the court when I serve, and therefore I can only speak on that issue when the case comes before me in my capacity as Chief Justice. In other words, confirm me, and if the case comes before me, you'll get your answer to your question. You're going to hear one of those two things in the next couple days. Which do you expect him to do? Do you want him to simply say what it is he's going to do and what he believes about Roe and other issues, of course? Or do you want him to say, as tradition would dictate, confirm me and you'll find out? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's open lines, issues, etc. Call during this break. When we come back, more audio from the confirmation hearings of John Robert.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Where did the Book of Mormon come from? Art Vanek, co-author of our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September, who really wrote the Book of Mormon, answers that question.
After doing several years of research, it is our conclusion that instead of being an ancient record, it was in fact the early 19th century creation of a retired Congregationalist minister named Solomon Spaulding.
Who was Solomon Spaulding? How did his work of fiction become the Book of Mormon? Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September answers these questions. Who really wrote the Book of Mormon is $16.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and find the book there. Or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September. Who really wrote the Book of Mormon?
Genesis, important to New Testament doctrine?
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the book on effective evangelism called Why Won't They Listen? Well, Ken, since we now have the New Testament, why do we even bother with the book of Genesis?
I once spoke to a pastor who proudly proclaimed that his was a New Testament church. He said he didn't have to worry about the Old Testament. So I asked him, Pastor, do you believe in marriage? Well, yes, he replied. Why do you believe in marriage? I asked. Because Paul talks about marriage in the New Testament, he said. Well, that's interesting, I said, because when Paul talks about marriage, such as in Ephesians, he goes back to Genesis to give the foundation for marriage. And then I asked, do you believe in original sin? Why, yes, he said. Well, that's interesting, I went on. In 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul is writing about the message of Jesus on the cross and his death and resurrection, he goes back to Genesis to justify why Jesus died on the cross. I continued, "It's all very well to be a New Testament church, Pastor, but you must realize that all of the New Testament is based in the Old Testament, and ultimately all of this is founded in Genesis 1 through 11. The first chapters of the Bible are the key to understanding the rest of Scripture and all New Testament doctrine."
Does Genesis chapter 1 actually teach that the days of creation were 24 hours in length? Ken Ham looks at that intriguing question in a free booklet available on our attractive website, AnswersRadio.com. AnswersRadio.com.
This is Dr. John Tape with the Media Minute. According to the parable of the Good Samaritan, a traveler on the road to Jericho fell among thieves who beat him up and left him for dead. Later, a Samaritan came along and cared for the injured victim. In this parable, Jesus tells us to be sensitive to the suffering of others. According to the American Psychiatric Association, watching violence in the media leads children to be less sensitive to the real needs of real-life people. When children frequently watch actors getting shot or beat up, it's easy to start thinking that pain and suffering are no big deal. If you want your children to be more sensitive to the needs of others, reduce their exposure to media violence. And remind your children that Jesus is always sensitive to their needs. That's why he died on the cross for them. This Media Minute is brought to you by the Christian Media Literacy Institute. Please visit our website at cmli.org.
Do you want more of God's grace? Village Lutheran Church in Ladue is a Bible-believing church faithful to the Scriptures, a place for the whole family, a community that cares with a vibrant, historic Christian liturgy. Village Lutheran Church is located at 9237 Clayton Road in Ladue. www.villagelutheranchurch.org. Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, 314-993-1834.
I hope you will respond fully and candidly to such questions, not just to earn our approval, but to prove to the American people that you have earned the right to a lifetime appointment to the highest court in the land.
Do you agree or disagree with Senator Kennedy there? He wants the questions, the specific questions being put to John Roberts, to be answered by the nominee. Why? Well, we want to see if you're up to the task. He began his statements there by saying, look, you are obviously a very qualified judge, and you are obviously a very accomplished attorney and justice in your own right. But we want to know, this is the big chair, and we want to know whether or not you fit in the big chair, so answer our specific questions. Do you agree with Senator Kennedy? Welcome back to Issues Etc. Open lines for the last half hour. Our phone number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Do you think he should be answering the questions put to him during the confirmation, or should he follow tradition and say, give me the case as the Chief Justice, and you'll get your answer? How much does this matter to you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. While we wait for your phone calls, coming up in November, the second week of November, Friday of the 11th, here in St. Louis, the Image of God Bioethics Conference will gather to talk about a bioethical perspective on many of the issues that you're hearing about today in these Senate hearings. Issues like abortion, embryonic stem cell research, euthanasia, all life issues, not only in the law, but also in bioethics. Some of the very best of Issues Etc. guests on bioethics will be there. We'll be broadcasting there as well. For more information, our website has a logo on it, the Image of God Bioethics Conference logo. Go there, issuesetc.org. Click on the logo, and you'll find a brochure with all the information you need for this St. Louis conference in November. issuesetc.org. Look for that logo, the Image of God Bioethics Conference. Tim is on the line. Tim, calling from his car. Welcome to Issues Etc.
For a change, I'd really like to see people be more forthcoming and let you know what they feel. I think it's operating in darkness. I think they ought to operate in the light, and they ought to say why they think what they think and what they believe. And I think there's some other issues as a Christian that I'd like to hear besides just Roe versus Wade. And you know, and I really do think that we are eventually going to get the Supreme Court to overturn Roe, but I think it's going to lead to total anarchy in this country. And some of the other issues I'd like them to address is I believe strongly in a right to privacy. I don't believe that, you know, they should just be able to bug your phones and all this and all everything you'd buy. And, you know, I do worry about Big Brother. And I think as Christians, we all should. I think it's kind of a warning in the book of Revelation. And I also would like to say one last thing, and that would be I don't understand why Christians don't speak out more against gambling. I'd like to know how I think it ought to be illegal. Myself, and I think it's the biggest scourge on society is abortion is. I really do.
Tim, thank you very much for the call. I don't know if they're going to be asking him about gambling unless he's got some debts piled up, and then of course that would call his qualifications into question, as it would for any one of these high offices. I want to know what the rest of you think. Tim says, look, let's just lay it on the table. Ask these nominees what they would do, what they think, what they would hope to do, and let the chips fly and the whatever fall where it may, mixing all my metaphors together. Now, the argument against that, of course, is it wouldn't be right for or appropriate for a future justice to comment on something that may come before the court that would be technically legal prejudice, that is, prejudging a case that you haven't heard yet. And that has for the better part of American history, been the place where most nominees to the high court have landed when it comes to specific questions. They say, I just can't prejudge a case. Give me the case as a justice, and I'll answer your questions. Is that what Roberts should do? Bill calls from his car, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Bill.
Good afternoon, Pastor. I just want to throw one thing out about Judge Roberts, you know, giving his opinion and almost passing on cases before they come up. Put it on a personal level. Let's say you were a defendant and you sat in the chair and they were ready for the case, and the judge looks around and says to the jury and to the attorneys and everyone present, by the way, this man is guilty. Is the defense ready? Is the prosecution ready, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? I'm not sure if the judge really should have to answer that, type of question.
So should he give the traditional answer when asked about is Roe v. Wade good law? Should Roe v. Wade be overturned? Things like that.
I think we know his position. We at least feel his position pretty well. And I would hate to go into a court as a defendant and have the judge tell me his opinion and whether or not I was guilty before the trial even started.
Before I let you go, Bill, did you hold the same opinion during the confirmation hearings of someone like Ruth Bader Ginsburg when she was nominated by Bill Clinton to fill a vacancy on the Supreme Court?
I always feel that way because I'm really big on judicial impartiality. Now, I know that they are trying already tried cases, and they're passing on the legality and technicality of them. Yes, because I feel it's doing the same thing as a judge would do if he declared me guilty before my the defending attorney had a chance to speak.
Bill, thank you very much. Okay, so Tim says, lay it all on the table, cases that have come, that haven't come, that may not come, ask me anything, I'll answer it. Ann Coulter says, at least with regard to this life issue, we need a nominee that'll do that. Bill says, no. That would be like a judge literally prejudging a case before it's heard, before he's heard it or before a jury has heard it. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Well, here's Senator Kennedy again. He says that the administration's refusal to turn over all of Roberts' writings, they're talking about some of his writings from the previous Bush administration, is downright troubling.
We can only wonder what they don't want us to know. In particular, we need to know his views on civil rights, voting rights, and the right to privacy.
Okay, now, the story, if you haven't been following it, is that the Senate Judiciary Committee has requested, individual senators have requested, certain documents from the pen of Judge Roberts while he was working for the first Bush administration. and they're not being turned over by the present Bush administration. And Senator Kennedy says, hey, that's fishy. I heard another senator as well say, that's not right. That would lead to a very reasonable inference that there's something in those writings that might tell us something about Roberts' opinions that we would disagree with. So what is the Bush administration hiding, they ask? 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Senator Joseph Biden is also on the committee. He says that the hearings will give Roberts a chance simply to explain his views on the key issues.
The Constitution provides for one democratic moment, Judge, one democratic moment before a lifetime of judicial independence. This is that moment.
He's absolutely right. I don't agree with Biden on hardly anything, but he's absolutely right. This is the one time that the one democratic moment, with the exception of an impeachment, which you could call a democratic moment, but it would also bring his judicial independence to an end. It's the one time the people get to weigh in on the nominee. So this is a key moment. If you're going to ask a question, it needs to be asked now. If you're curious about something, if you have a question, now's the time to do it. It's a little bit like you're getting ready to go on the trip, and Dad says to all the kids, if you gotta go, go now, because we're not stopping after this. So should he be answering the questions, every question put to him? Now, judging by the lack of phone calls here, am I to assume that this is not a big issue with you? That if he's confirmed, you'll yawn and roll over and turn on another rerun of Friends, or that if you decide if he's not confirmed, no one should be complaining. Because if it ain't important now, it could hardly be important then. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. To put it more pointedly, do you care whether or not he's confirmed or not? Call in and say yes or no. I mean, I'd like to hear from the people who don't care, too. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. And I guess if you do care, I also want to know, should he be answering all of the questions put to him? Or should he follow the tradition of these hearings and defer on things that may come before the court? Senator John Kyle of the Senate Judiciary Committee says that Roberts shouldn't have to answer anything that might cause problems in the future.
Her stance on an issue that is likely to come before him as a judge, that nominee is obligated to decline to answer the question.
Now, he takes the position that it's not just a matter of choice. Up to this point, we've heard the senator saying, look, you can answer any question you want. If you don't want to answer it, if you judge that it's not a good idea to answer the question, don't answer it. Well, John Kyle says you are obligated not to answer it if you reasonably think that it might come before the court in the future. You're obligated not to answer it. Do you agree? 505-7850-1800-730-2727. So Senator Kennedy says, you need to answer this because we need to know whether or not you're fit for the job. Senator Kyle says, you are obligated not to answer these things, and it will show us that you're fit for the job because you won't prejudge any cases. Which of them is right? Everyone's curious what he believes. But which of them should he do? 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Birdie calls from her car. Hi, Birdie.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Very well.
Good. I belong to a Lutheran church, and I practice a lot of the things. But also, you know, as a woman, I don't think Roe v. Wade will be overturned, nor should it be, because I think it touches back into the constitutional rights of the First Amendment of, you know, freedom of speech and things that you want to do. And the reason I base this on one basic thought, is to judge another is to judge God. So it's on that person's conscience, because it's going to be, what happens is if this is taken away, it's going to be like prohibition, where everything goes underground again, and abortion will go underground again just as well. And perhaps there's going to be quack doctors doing procedures that hurt women and things like that. So I don't see that ever leaving our culture or our country. Now, I think, you know, in terms of abortions, you know, third trimester abortions are ridiculous. I mean, you need to have figured this out way back when, in the beginning.
Ridiculous or wrong? Which? I mean, I can do something ridiculous. I could dress up in a Southern Belle Party hoop dress and run down the street. That's ridiculous, but it isn't wrong.
Well,
is third trimester,
you know,
abortions ridiculous or wrong?
Third trimester, I think I have a problem with, because, you know, science.
Well,
this
my
point,
wife would have a problem with me running in a hoop dress down the street, but she couldn't say I was doing something wrong. She'd just say, "Honey, you're being silly. You're attracting attention."
Right.
Is it wrong?
It's hard because I come from a very strong science background, and you know, I look at the fetus in the embryo as potential life. Now, science has intervened at this point where third trimester, we can, you know, they can put infants in incubators and save their lives and do that type of thing. And so, you know, I do feel, I mean, I used to be like, no, not until the child is born, but now I feel very much so, no, by third trimester, yeah, I guess I would say it's wrong, because the child does have a potential to live at that point due to scientific technology.
All right, Bertie, a couple questions before I let you go.
Yeah, no
so
problem.
So I make sure I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You are
mm-hmm.
saying that at least in the case of third trimester abortions, and we don't have time to go into anything previous to that, but at least
mm-hmm.
in that case, you are personally opposed to abortion, but you don't think it should be illegal.
Right, I don't. But I do, you know, the thing is, I think women should figure this stuff out faster and beforehand, and not wait till that point because of science. But at the same time, what worries me is, you know, when we've talked, I've listened a lot about, like, evolution and stem cell research and a lot of your past programs and things like that, and it comes to a point of, when are we playing God? Like, when are we saying, okay, we can do a death penalty, or, oh, we have all this cancer treatment, and,
now,
you know, so
now,
why keep
now,
that?
Now, Bertie, who's playing God when the baby, let's just say 8 weeks, who's playing God when a baby is aborted at 8 weeks?
Well, it would be the mother's choice.
But, so who's playing God? Anybody?
I mean, if you're going to say playing God, it could be the doctor as well as it could be the mother. But at the same time,
But you would support a woman playing God in that case.
I would. As a woman, and I'm not saying she's playing God, but I'm going back to what I said before, to judge another is to judge God, and I cannot sit there and say what she did was wrong. Now, I have a sister that had an abortion, and I have several friends.
But now hold on a second. I'm interested in your anecdote, but, and I got other people waiting here, but Bertie, you said that the third trimester abortion was wrong. Now that sounds like a judgment to me. How is that not judging God?
It is a judgment.
God?
It is a judgment.
But how
right.
is that not judging God? To judge another is
no,
to judge God.
No, it is. No, I agree. It is. It is. But like, part of my feeling is like, you should have figured this out earlier, but I'm going to just touch back with my science background. I don't think viable life occurs until it is actually born. I mean, and that's the thing. So, yeah, with third trimester, due to science now. Now, if we had no science, technology, medical, anything, that, to me, is just not a viable fetus yet. It has to actually come out of the womb to be a viable fetus at that point.
Okay, Bertie, I want you to keep listening to the program. Please do. And by golly, talk to your pastor about this. Really, to your Lutheran pastor, because she said at the beginning of her conversation, she's a Lutheran pastor. And just a word to the Lutheran pastors listening, Bertie is typical. You think, oh, no, that's not my people. That's not my ladies in my congregation. Think again, Padre. 505-7850, 1-800-730 2727. These are the ladies, by the way, pastors, who are sitting quietly in church and in your Bible classes, and men as well, and sometimes even nodding their heads. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Look, if it's wrong in the third trimester, okay, first of all, if to judge another is to judge God, then it's always wrong to judge, period. Always. And it wouldn't only apply to abortion, it would apply to each and every case in which we pass judgment. So, by Bertie's logic, and Bertie, I hope you're listening, by Bertie's logic, I cannot say that it's wrong for me to take a gun, go to my neighbor's house, and because he has the widescreen plasma television, and I don't, blow his head off, wipe the blood off the screen, take it home. Now you say it's wrong, it's stealing. Hey, to judge me would be to judge God in that case. If judging others is to judge God, you can't say it. Now, you could say, I'm personally opposed to Wilkin committing cold-blooded murder to get his plasma screen TV, but I don't. But you would have to say, I can't say it would be illegal. That's the position you'd have to take by that logic. And by the way, it's not just a potential life. It is life. Really, there's no reason, say a baby is pulled out of the womb by a C-section because the mother's life is in danger. By Bertie's logic, since it hasn't been born yet, I mean, it's had a C-section, it hasn't come out in the normal course of things, it's not a viable life. I do not know why we're wasting all the hundreds of millions we do on neonatal intensive care units. It's just a colossal waste of money, according to Bertie's scientific background. I just picture beakers bubbling in the background. It just kind of made me chuckle a little bit. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Tim is up next. He calls from his car. Hi, Tim.
Well, Bertie ought to get the phones ringing. I have to throw one thing in on the science front, Bertie, if you are still listening, that at the time of conception, there is a separate and unique DNA created in the embryo. So, if that is the fingerprint of personhood, I don't know what is. But
scientifically, yeah.
I was actually calling about Ted Kennedy's remarks because it was during the Thurgood Marshall hearings that he emphatically stated that the candidate should not have to answer any specific questions about anything that might come before the court.
All right.
I know that was some time ago, but I actually heard the recording, so that sort of flies in the face of what he's saying today.
Tim, thank you very much. I'll take you at your word there that that's what Senator Kennedy had to say, and expect consistency out of senators. It's a little too much. Tim, as well, also calls from his car. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Hi, Tim.
Going back to Bertie's situation, I think you could apply that her logic to just hospital care in general. Life is. When is a life viable? If I were to wind up in the hospital, in a life-threatening situation, I would hope to be considered a viable life, even though I'm being, kept alive on a machine, at least, temporarily.
Tim, thanks. Yeah, if I get hit by a bus on the way out of work tonight and I'm lying there half dead, Bertie doesn't show up and say, hey, didn't look viable to me. He's almost about ready to die. Why call an ambulance? By the way, she said that if we overturn Roe v. Wade, abortions will go underground. We overturned a constitutional amendment that fairly well permitted, in almost every case, slavery of the black man. Did slavery go underground? Does Bertie keep slaves at home in the basement that I don't know about? Are there people? Is this what's happening? It wouldn't go underground. It would go back to the states, and the states would decide one way or the other, for good or for ill, whether or not they want the crime of abortion to be legal within their borders. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. That's hardly underground. Jim is calling from his car. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Having a blessed day, too, right?
I'm having a day.
There you are. A baby is a baby is a baby. A baby fetus is a baby fetus, and we all know they're living creatures that God made through us, and that we could hope that the mothers wouldn't want to be that way. The only sad side is that money thing where, you know, they're making money off of the fetus, and that's why it's kind of, you say you're beating your head against the wall because there's all that money going into the other side.
Jim, thank you for the call. Well, it's true. Now there's a profit motive, of course, because now the potential, quote-unquote, potential life, unviable fetus, well, you can actually get something valuable out of it. It's stem cells. And people are willing to pay. Donna calls from Kirkwood. Hi, Donna.
Hi. You know, I was just listening to your program, and I called because of that young lady. Either life is precious or it isn't. You know, I don't understand it, how someone can call themselves a Christian and then say something like that. She gets it all. Her thinking comes from the world. It's not a Christian worldview. So I wish she would do, or her pastors would, or whoever, her pastors would talk to her. And there's so many people like this today. They're so mixed up and confused, and they don't respect life at all. They don't know that life is precious. So I just wanted to call and say that. And, you know, as far as the judge, he cannot answer.
Donna, thank you. Our time is short here.
He won't be confirmed.
Thank you. Well, I don't know. I think he could answer and still be confirmed. I think that's a possibility. But he would be breaking with precedent. He would also be fairly well, by answering the question, requiring any other nomination that came after him to answer. Precedent is just that. It's what happened before last time. And these things aren't written in stone. If he answers, then maybe the next person will have to answer too. And that, if you think that's prejudging a case, it's definitely something you don't want to have happen. Well, tomorrow we'll be talking with Ed Meese, former U.S. Attorney General under the Reagan administration, on the Roberts nomination as well. We'll also talk to Ted Haggard. I discovered earlier today that he's actually an apostle. We'll find out whether he thinks he is tomorrow. He's president of the National Association of Evangelicals. That's all coming up tomorrow on the program. Look, again, to both Birdie and to the pastors who serve ladies like Birdie, these are your ladies, these are your men, these are the people sitting quietly in your Bible class, these are the people who need to be brought through God's Word to think this one through to its best conclusion, saving, not the taking, of innocent life.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.